Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel once again. So in this video, I'm commenting about the Russian Federation's attempt to forge an anti-Western alliance. So Putin's often raving about his axis with China, but obviously it's a very one-sided alliance. Now, China outnumbers Russia 10-1. Economically, China's not that far behind Russia. And obviously the Chinese, they need Russian oil, gas, coal, and so on. But that even the Chinese are moving towards energy independence. I think they probably won't get there to the end of the century with renewable energy. They're not emphasizing as much as Western countries. They're not willing to take the hit in living standards. But this is not a partnership of equals. And notably, you know, China has not voted Russia's way in the United Nations about the Ukraine war. China has normal diplomatic relations with Ukraine, trades with them. The Ukrainians are not accused the Chinese of espionage and so on. And then there's Iran, which actually has voted Russia's way in the United Nations. A few other countries, Nicaragua voted for Russia, Eritrea voted for Russia, North Korea, Syria, and that's about it. Syria, which obviously the Syrian regime desperately relied on Russian military assistance to try and oppress its own population in the last 12 years. It was really since 2015 the Russians have been intervening there, most of the Air Force, somewhat the Wagner mercenaries. Eritrea, it's fairly similar story. And then I just don't know where else is there. Nicaragua, run by sort of an anti-US government, memories of the 1980s, of the Sandinista government being opposed by the Contras, which was obviously US-backed. So perhaps for those historical reasons. But a lot of former communist countries, well, most of them neutral, if indeed pro-Ukrainian on this Russo-Ukrainian war. North Korea, perhaps the cruelest tyranny on the face of the planet, not company that one would wish to keep. So it's a pathetic affair. So, you know, about half a dozen countries, Belarus, which is little more than a satellite of Muscovy. So anyway, on Friday, that's just yesterday, the 31st of March, President Vladimir Putin, he made an announcement that Russia's foreign policy now encompasses opposing a Western mastery of the world, as he sees it. Well, how does he propose to succeed? And trying to forge a more cordial relationship with India and China. Now, that itself is fraught with difficulty, since China and India are often at daggers drawn. They fought a very small-scale conflict in 2020. They are at best strategic rivals, and it's a rather unfriendly rivalry, because the Chinese are a disputatious lot, and they claim that their frontier with India is disputable. Well, even maps that are published in India have the compulsory rider, the borders, external borders of India have not been confirmed, it may not be correct, in case India wishes to lay claim to more. India, the Republic of India, is of course a successor state of the British Raj, and many of these borders were settled in the Britannic epoch. And so India doesn't want to lose a millimetre of that ground, but might want to claim more. So they have this vexatious relationship with their colonial heritage. So that's difficult there. But India, nevertheless, is voting to abstain in the United Nations on the Russo-Ukrainian war for this balanced India, balanced posture. India's been rewarded by Russia with cheap oil and gas imports, and indeed Russian oil sales to India have increased 22-fold since the war began 400 days ago. Exactly. So it doesn't really appear that India is going to be pulled into the Russian orbit. And because Russia is so close to China, and China is, of course, the ally of the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, which is India's deadly foe, therefore, you can't actually, as Russia, have a very amicable relationship with India. It's not necessarily going to be hostile. Russia's been reduced to having to purchase shells from North Korea, drones from Iran, and indeed from China, assault rifles. So this is not what a superpower ought to be doing when fighting a country which is much smaller and much feebler than itself. Admittedly, Ukraine's been armed by some mighty countries such as the United States. So there is no really overarching ideology here. India, which is genuinely democratic, in which there is free speech, even that's been curtailed a bit under Narendra Modi, in which there are fair trials and so on, what have they got in common with a cruelly oppressive regime run by this demented personality cult in North Korea? Not a great deal. So it's not like Marxist-Leninism, which supposedly had universal applicability. So I fail to see what they, you know, what they've got in common here. All right, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But, you know, India's not really anti-Occidental. They might want some reparatory payments from the United Kingdom. But, you know, what's their beef with, goodness knows, New Zealand or France or something like that, or Canada? So they're not necessarily hostile to all Western countries, and they share the values of most Western countries. That's it. These are the unfriendly countries which have imposed sanctions on Ukraine, but some of them are non-Western, so on Russia, because of the invasion of Ukraine. Some of the sanctioning countries are non-Western, like Japan and South Korea and so forth. So Russia's just taken charge of the Security Council of the United Nations. And that's why Putin is demanding a major shape up of world affairs. Well, I don't see how it's going to happen. And that's why there's increasingly strident anti-Occidental rhetoric in Russia. His State of the Nation speech delivered in February this year contained a lot of this sort of distasteful oratory. And that's why the foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, he said the document the president published about this new foreign strategy says that there are existential threats to us, the security and development of our country, driven by the actions of unfriendly states. So stop there. I mean, who is trying to stop the Russian Federation existing? I mean, so this is cloud cuckoo land. These are outrageous lies. It's victim blaming as usual. Lavrov, who managed to say with a straight face that Ukraine started the war against Russia. What? When Russia attacked Ukraine by land, sea and air, Russia, which has obviously been invading for 8 years, a quite limited war until 2022, which attempted the murder of the Ukrainian president in 2004, trying to poison Viktor Yushchenko and so on, which is obviously was illegally occupying 10% of Ukraine even before this war began in earnest in February 2022, that Ukraine has started the war against them. I mean, just what an outrageous and imbecilic lie. And that's the sort of rank dishonesty that typifies the Kremlin's public discourse. Anyway, so they said that the United States of America is driving anti-Russian sentiment. Well, that's obviously not true. It's not like they're against Russian cuisine or dancing or music or anything like that. And why is it that Russians are moving to the United States? Why is it virtually no Russians? Why is it virtually no Americans move to Russia? There are a few business executives, there are a few journalists. There won't be many more after that Wall Street Journal journalist has been jailed for supposed espionage, i.e. journalism, as in going to check out a story. There was no secrecy about this, but really just to be treated as a hostage. So what are these anti-Western values? I suppose it's being totally hostile to the free media. That would be one of them, total state control of the media. Anyway, so Russia sees links with China and India as being a friendly sovereign global centers of power and development. I mean, India is certainly not unfriendly, and that's it. So I don't see how this is going to work. And okay, China and India are growing powerful. I think India will probably remain fairly genuinely neutral, would like some military upgrades from Western countries. It realizes how poor Russian military kit is, at least it's cheap. But Russia's going to have almost none left for export. They've been providing shoddy goods which are not on the bill of sale. So it's just not worth the having, and Russia's just not going to be able to supply it anyway. So they'd rather be able to overmaster the Pakistanis by buying military tech, which is a generation ahead from Western countries. And as India is enriching itself, it's going to be able to afford to do so more and more. So it's really measly. I don't see it succeeding. I mean, but it's not puny either. You look at the sheer population of China having such a chunk of the world's economy. There is some considerable force here, but there's not such a community of interests between Russia and China. And China may begin to dispute the border that, some of this land was annexed from China in the late 19th century by Russia. Well, thank you for watching my video. Toodaloo.